I want tonight to speak very frankly and very directly and very forthrightly upon a very solemn subject. I've got no fancy outline really this evening, but I want to speak for the time that God has given us upon that moment yet future, whenever God will say, in a sense, to the impenitent sinner, as they stand before the great white throne and as the books are opened, "Sinner, this was your life." You know, years ago there was a television program that was aired in Britain that was entitled, "This Is Your Life." It was initially hosted by a fellow called Eamon Andrews and then in later years by Michael Aspel. And so often the guest, who was generally a celebrity or a sporting star or someone that was well known, was surprised as they went about their daily routine. And then the host of the show would burst through maybe a false wall or step onto the scene, and he had a great red book in his hand. And then he would speak to the individual by name, whoever it was, and would say, "So-and-so, this is your life." And then he would present them with that great red book, and they would be ushered in before a studio audience, and for 25 minutes or half an hour, salient aspects of that individual's life would be maybe put up on a screen, and old friends and acquaintances would be brought in to speak a word even on their behalf. "This is your life." And I suppose tonight that that guest, before that show would be aired, had a choice in whether that television program would be shown or not. The reality as well is that the record of that individual's life was very brief, and it was certainly not a full or maybe not even an honest record of that individual's life. I suppose it would be safe to say that that record only highlighted the good points, the high points, the things that that individual would take pleasure in and would happily be reminded of and would be proud of. But you know, there's a day coming whenever every unsaved individual will be ushered before a greater audience still, made up of angels and men from all ages and from all parts. And if you're not yet a Christian and you find yourself in that situation, you will stand in the spotlight of God's judgment. And the Bible says here that not only will one book be opened, but several books will be opened. And you will be judged out of the things that are written and recorded in those books. And your life will be made naked before God and before the entire universe, as God Himself opens the books and in one sense says to you, this was your life. I wonder how that thought grabs you tonight, that someday your life will be opened and made manifest. Every sin that you're ashamed of, every word, every thought, every deed opened up before Almighty God and before your never-dying soul and before countless witnesses round about. You know, as I read my Bible tonight, I read of several judgments that are recorded in Scripture. The first and maybe the greatest judgment of all is the judgment of the sins of believers upon the cross. In John's Gospel chapter 12 and verse number 31, the Lord Jesus Christ, pointing to Calvary and pointing to the cross, said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And he was speaking about the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ described the cross in one sense as being the judgment of this world. Sin was judged upon the body and soul of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have the great judgment of the believer's sin upon the cross. And then in the life of the believer, there needs to be self-judgment as well. In the context of the Lord's table, Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 11 and 31 said, "If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Believers need to judge themselves. We spend so much time judging others. But the Bible says Christians should judge themselves. And then there's a day yet future whenever the believer will be judged according to their works at the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. And they will either receive a reward, the Bible says, or they will suffer loss. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, when Paul is speaking, I believe to Christians, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then there's another judgment that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew 25, 32. And I believe he's maybe speaking in a general sense, an umbrella term. And he says in Matthew 25 and verse number 32, that before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats. He shall divide one nation from another, and he will judge the very nations. The book of Ezekiel speaks about the judgment of the nation of Israel. And it typifies a day that's coming whenever that nation as well will be judged amongst other nations beside. And then the little book of Jude, the penultimate book of the Bible, in Jude verse 6, speaks about the judgment of the fallen angels. Jude 6 says, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved an everlasting change under darkness until the judgment of that great day. There's coming a day whenever fallen angels will be judged. Paul elaborates on that judgment in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 3. And he says to God's people, know ye not that we shall judge angels? And then lastly, there's the judgment of the ungodly, the judgment of the wicked dead that we have read about in Revelation 20 and verse number 12. And that's the judgment that we're thinking about tonight. You will notice that it says in verse number 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. That's speaking about the body. Those who have been cast into the sea, those who have been buried in the ground, those even who have been cremated. This earth will deliver up the bodies of those who have died throughout all generations. And then it says death and hell. And the word hell there is the word Hades, which means the underworld. The place where the souls of the ungodly go after they die, before the return of Jesus Christ. So the body of the ungodly will be resurrected, and then temporarily the soul will be released from Hades, and body and soul will be united together at the great white throne judgment. And this is one of the most awesome and solemn scenes in all of Scripture. And I believe that whenever John speaks about the dead, small and great stand before God, he's speaking about those who died in their sins. Those who were dead in sin, and then those who consequently died unforgiven in their sins. And he says the dead, both small and great, those who were well known, those who weren't known at all, those who in the eyes of the world were great and successful men, those who in the eyes of the world amounted to nothing, and all in between will stand someday at God's great judgment throne. That is the ultimate tragedy. That's why Jesus Christ said it had been good for that man if he had not even been born, than to be born and to live a sinful life, and then to die without Christ as your Savior. It says here that there's one that sits on the throne. John describes him in verse 11. He says, the throne is great and the throne is white. That denotes power, and it also denotes purity. And then it speaks about a person sitting on the throne. And we know that that individual is Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he said in John 5 and verse 22 that the Father hath committed all judgment to the Son. Now this world that we live in tonight mocks and scoffs about Jesus Christ. They curse his name. They defy his word. They make caricatures of his image. They laugh and they scorn. But I tell you that nobody will be laughing. Nobody will be mocking. Nobody will be scoffing at the great white throne. Because as the risen, exalted, magnified, glorified Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, sits upon his judgment throne, the Bible says, the earth and the heaven fled away. But there was found no place for them. There was nowhere to run, and there was nowhere to hide. It's as if the whole world and the whole scene before the judgment throne just becomes a vast plain, and there's nothing to cover the sinner from their sin. And you will notice as well that once this huge assembly has been brought before the judge of all the earth, it says the books are opened. This is one of the most awesome scenes in all of the Word of God. The apostle spoke about the glory that awaits the believer. He said, the eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. But still, whenever it concerns the ungodly, the eye hath not seen, neither hath the ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those who do not love him. It says that the books were opened. That's in the plural. The books were opened. So there's a plurality of books. And then it says immediately after those particular books were opened, it says, and another book was opened. And the last book that was opened is described as being the book of life. Now, some people distinguish the book of life as being a different book from the Lamb's book of life. And I would sway to that opinion that there's a difference between the book of life and the Lamb's book of life. But at any rate, it says that the dead, the ungodly, who died in their sins, were judged out of those things which were written in the books. You see, God's great judgment day is going to be according to God's standard, not yours or mine, not the standards of a particular religion, not the standards of a particular church, certainly not according to the standards of this present world. God's judgment upon sinners is going to be according to God's standards. Now, maybe you say tonight, or ask the question, well, what are these books that are spoken of? Well, I'll tell you briefly what I believe these books are. First of all, I believe the Bible itself will be one of the books that will be opened. Because we read in the Gospel of John, chapter number 12, and verse number 48, the words of Jesus Christ himself. And he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And I believe that whenever the ungodly stand before the great white throne judgment, one of the books that will be opened will be the Bible, the scriptures, that records who God is, and what duty God requires of man. You will be brought that day, sinner, to Mount Sinai, and you will see the holiness and the righteousness of God. And as the Word of God is opened, you will be brought perhaps to the Ten Commandments, and you will see reflected there the holiness of God and the sinfulness of the human heart. And I believe as well in being brought to Mount Sinai, you as well will be brought to Mount Calvary. And you will be shown in all of its fullness the great love of God. and the great remedy that God provided for fallen man in sending his son to be a sacrifice upon the cross. And then I believe another book that will be opened is a book that the Bible describes in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8 as being the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelation 13:8 speaks about the rise of the beast, the Antichrist. And it says there, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Now that verse would indicate that the ungodly, the sinner, never had their name written at all in the Lamb's book of life. And those who are alive at the tribulation time, and their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will just follow along with the crowd, and they will worship the beast. And then this Lamb's Book of Life is spoken of as well in Revelation 21 and verse 27. And it says there, speaking of the New Jerusalem, "There shall in no wise enter into that celestial city, enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but them which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." And I believe tonight that that Lamb's Book of Life is speaking of those who had spiritual life in and through the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. But I believe the Book of Life is another book. I believe the Book of Life records the lives of all who have ever lived, along with the lives that they lived and the works that they did. Because it tells us concerning the Book of Life that a person's name can be blotted out of the Book of Life. Whenever a person is found in their sin before the judgment throne of God and their name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, God blots out their name completely. I believe that's one of the reasons why in Luke chapter 16, when we read about the rich man who died and in hell lifted up his eyes, his name is never given. Because his name at the end of the day counted for absolutely nothing before God other than a life of sin. But poor Lazarus, that beggar, his name was recorded. His name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it wasn't blotted out of that other book. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5 speaks about the Book of Life. "Him that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 22 and verse number 19, as the canon of Scripture draws to a close, it says, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy," there's a very real penalty attached to either adding to or taking away from the word of God. God says that he shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. So only those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life and are not blotted out from before God, only such people will be the ones who at last inherit heaven. And as we think about these books being opened, what it is really teaching us is that God keeps his books. God keeps his records. God keeps his books. Nobody can tamper with them. Nobody can alter or change what has been written in them. And sinner, tonight, your entire life has been recorded in heaven from the moment that you first drew breath. Now you can erase text messages. You can take emails and throw them into the trash bin or the recycling bin in your desktop. You can get rid of voice messages on your phone. You can delete your 1571 messages. You can delete your cookies on your computer. You can shred papers and letters and tax returns and bank account details and bank statements. You can burn photographs and video cassette tapes and CDs and DVDs, and you can even erase certain things from your memory. But what you cannot do is erase one jot or tittle from God's record in heaven. And it says here in Revelation 20 that judgment will be according to works. Look again at verse number 12. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And that proves, therefore, that the works, the lifestyle, the deeds of the ungodly are recorded and written in these books in heaven. Now, if you're going to be judged according to your works, that means that you're lost. Because the Scripture says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. Ephesians says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We read about a crowd in Matthew chapter 7, as the Lord concluded the Sermon on the Mount, and again He's speaking about this day. He says, "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And what's the will of God for the sinner? It's that you confess your sin, repent of it, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But that crowd are going to boast. They're going to say, "Lord, Lord, we have done wonderful things in your name. We have cast out devils in your name. We have prophesied in your name. And in your name we have done many wonderful works." But God didn't think their works were that wonderful at all. In fact, the Savior says, "I will profess unto them, depart from me. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." The Bible says judgment is going to be according to works. You know, if you're not a Christian tonight, you are still under what theologians would call the covenant of works. You see, Adam in the garden and Eve, our first parents, were brought into a covenant of works with Almighty God. God, pointing to that tree of knowledge of good and evil, essentially says, "Adam, if you obey me, you will inherit eternal life. But Adam, if you disobey me, you will die." And the Scripture says, "In Adam, all die. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men." And if you never come to Christ, the last Adam, and enter into what is called a covenant of grace, salvation by grace, you're still under works. You're still under the old economy. You're still going to be judged according to the life that you have lived. Not according to what Christ has done on the cross. Not according to His righteousness. You're going to be judged for the life that you have lived. For the words that you have spoken. For the deeds that you have done. Judgment will be according to works. Judgment as well will be according to words. And that's a solemn thing. Over there in the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ said in verse number 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." And you know, I have lost track of the amount of times that I meet people in this locality and they know about the church and they get embarrassed and they promise you, "I'm going to come to your church." "What time's your service at?" "Half six on a Sunday night." "I'll be there. I'll be there." And sometimes they don't even ask them to come. And they promise they're going to come. And I often think about that verse of Scripture, every idle word. Having a gospel mission, would you think of coming along? "Oh, definitely, I'll come along. Where's it at? What time's it at? When's it at? Can I bring the wife? Can I bring the family? Is it okay? What way do I have to dress? Do I have to bring a Bible? Do I have to wear a suit? Do I have to wear..." No, just come as you are. "I'll be there. I promise I'll be there." Every idle word. What about that word of gossip? What about that lie, that falsehood? What about that profane joke? What about that foul language? Every idle word. How could we ever begin to account for every word that we have spoken? Do you see tonight the scrutiny of God's great judgment day? That God is going to go through your life, sinner, with a fine-tooth comb. And no stone will be left unturned. You see, the Bible tells us that God's judgment is going to be full. His judgment will be full. God will not ignore certain sins. God sees and knows it all. And God's going to hold you to account. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. God requireth that which is past. God's judgment will be full. God's judgment will be fair. He will only judge you for the things that you have done and for the things that you should have done but left undone. You'll not be held to account for anybody else's sin. Your judgment will be fair. You'll not be falsely accused. You'll not be brought to task for things that others have accused you of. You will only be brought to task for the works that God knows that you have done, for the words that God knows that you have spoken, for the things that you should have done, that you knew you should have done, but you left them undone. And it's all recorded in God's book. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse number 17, Jesus Christ said, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." You know, there's a big celebrity last week or the week before who took his own life because the talk was that he was operating some sort of human trafficking thing and some sort of illicit sex business. And he took his life. And many are up in arms because he took all of his secrets to the grave. And he'll never be brought to justice, I tell you. All of his secrets will be revealed. And he certainly didn't get away with it. And neither will you or I. God has to deal with all of our sin. And the judgment will be fair. The scripture says every mouth shall be stopped. You'll have to hold up your hands and say, "You know something? God, you're right. Guilty as charged." It's all there, it's all recorded. There's a lot of stuff there, God, that I had forgotten about, but you've brought it all to my remembrance. And God, your judgment, yes, it's full. Your judgment is fair. God's judgment as well will be faithful. It'll be according to the Bible. What God has already written down in Scripture, what God has already preserved in the pages of your old authorized version there, in black and white, that's what God's going to judge you according to. And it'll be faithful. And he said that that's how it's going to be. Jesus said, "This word is what I'm going to judge you by." And that's what he will judge you by. He'll not judge you by the Book of Mormon. He'll not judge you by the Watchtower magazine. He'll not judge you by the Quran. He'll not judge you according to the law of the land. He's going to judge you faithfully according to the plumb line of Holy Scripture. That's why the throne is white, because it is pure and true. Judgment will be full. Judgment will be fair. Judgment will be faithful. Judgment will be final once for all. We read about one great white throne judgment for the ungodly. And that's it. There's not going to be a judgment in a million years from now, after this here. There's not going to be some other tribunal that you can go to. We've had this Asher's case, and it went to the court, and then it went to the High Court, and then it went to another court over in England, and now they're going to try and take it to Europe. And I don't know where they'll go after that, but there's no higher judgment than the judgment throne of God. And God's judgment day will be full, it'll be complete, it'll be final, it'll be once for all. There will be no retrials, because the judge of all the earth shall do right. It's like Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. That judgment, the Bible says, was once for all. But this man, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. He said, it's finished. That's it. It's done. Sin has been judged. Sin has been punishment. Sin has been punished. And I have provided salvation for a great multitude that no man can number. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's full and it's final and it's fair and it's faithful. And so it is with the great white throne judgment. You know something else I believe about this great judgment day? Judgment will be according to privilege. The higher the privilege, the greater the punishment. The greater the sin, the greater the punishment. The scripture says that the books will be opened and every man will be judged according to their works. Now over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse number 42, Jesus Christ asked a question. He said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him a portion with the hypocrites and the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But it goes on to say that those who were ignorant and didn't know, they'll still be punished, they'll still be beaten, but it'll be with few stripes. You know, tonight in this nation of ours, there are multitudes who know the gospel, and they have been cradled in the gospel, and they have been prayed for, and they have been exhorted, and they have been wept over, and they have heard the word of God, and it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment because Sodom had no Bible. What a state tonight Ulster's going to be in at the great white throne judgment. God can point back to the 1600s, times of reformation that spread into this nation of ours. Churches, denominations established that stood for truth and righteousness and held forth the word of life. He'll be able to point back to times like 1859 when thousands of souls, scores of thousands of souls were converted and churches were built and churches were extended. He'll be able to point back to the 1920s, men like W.P. Nicholson. He'll be able to point to every town and hamlet in this nation of ours and say, there was a church that once preached the gospel and you rejected it. And you rejected my son. And this little nation of ours is in for a terrible time at the judgment throne. Because we have been so highly privileged. But tonight I ask you, what about you? What about whenever the books are opened and God says, now this was your life, page one, you were born into a Christian home. Page two, you were taken to church. Page three, you were sent to Sunday school. Page four, you attended gospel meetings right through, right until the end. You heard the gospel. That August night, 2019, you heard it again, but you went on and you rejected it. And sinner, this is your life. This is your life. And this is your sin. And when God says, this is your life, you know something? There'll be no adjournments. You'll not be able to stand up and say, time out. Let me go away and correlate the evidence and prepare my arguments. God says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. No adjournments. No annulments. God keeps his appointments. No appeals because it's too late. No alibis because you will give account of yourself. There'll be none to verify your excuses. No attorneys to fight your corner. No advocates to plead with the judge. No arbitration. No independent referee. No apportionment. No one to share the guilt. No ambiguity. It'll be clear cut. No anonymity. Your life will be read out. No amnesty. No pardon. No acquittal. Your sin is still in record. No awards to soften the blow. Your life has been recorded, friend, from your first breath right up until this very point. And the scripture says here in Revelation 20 that none shall be able to hide. There was found no place for them, no covering. Now, I don't know about you, but I would hate it if my life was put up on a big screen behind this pulpit, and every thought and every word and every deed, publicly and privately, was put out. I would want to run 1,000 miles. I would want the earth to swallow me up. And how do you feel about your sin, your life, recorded in these books, being opened at the last day? And every bitter thought and every evil deed and every privilege spurned and rejected, and it's all read out. What you've said about certain people, it'll be standing there. What you've thought about God's word and God's law. Lustful thoughts. Lies that you've told. People that you've undermined and gossiped about. Things that you've stolen. And it's all there. And it's there in full. And the judgment is fair. And the judgment is faithful. And the judgment is final. And then look at the awful end. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Old Robert Murray McShane, the old preacher, said, you know, sinners at the great white throne judgment, whenever the books were opened, they will gladly run as fast as they can to the lake of fire just to get out of the presence of a holy God. Whenever the books are opened. Let me tell you tonight that the only way to avert this horrific event is to get to the cross. God punishes all sin. God judges all sin. Either in the person of Jesus Christ, our substitute, or in an eternal hell. It's one or the other. And if you don't get to the cross, and you don't see your sins nailed to that cross, and you don't accept by faith that once for all sacrifice, and you don't plunge neath that crimson fountain, this will be your life read out at the great white throne judgment. But you know, the wonderful thing is that the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. I will put your sins behind my back. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I will blot out as a thick cloud all of thy transgressions. What does He give us in its place? Forgiveness, assurance, peace, and purpose. And those whose names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will hear those words one day by God's grace. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That could be your life. But what about your life tonight? Where are you? Let me ask you tonight, are you washed in the Lamb's blood? Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. Are you washed in the Lamb's blood? Is your name written in the Lamb's book? Because only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book will be in heaven. And then, are you wedded as part of the Lamb's bride? Because Christ is coming back to receive His spotless bride. And the rest are going to be judged. Some of you know this inside out. You haven't heard maybe anything new tonight at all. But you still know in your heart of hearts that you're not yet a Christian. And you're not yet saved. And your sins are still in the record. Is it not time that you came to the Master tonight and got that old account settled once for all? My name is at the top, many things below, but I went up to the Keeper and He settled it long ago. The old account was settled long ago. Let's get the books balanced out tonight. Get your sin debt cancelled out through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. and have an assurance in life and a hope in death and a wonderful and blessed eternity. 298. 298 is the closing hymn tonight, and really it says it all. Horatius Bonner was the hymn writer, Scottish preacher. Him and his brother Andrew were great men of God who fellowshiped with men like McShane. And Horatius was a great hymn writer as well as preacher, and he sums it up well in these words: "Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole." Verse 3, "Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within." Will you come tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lamb of God who shed his blood for our salvation? 298, and we will stand, please, as we sing. And then remain standing briefly for prayer.